This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to tune in to this radio station every Sunday for worship with us.
We know what it means to call God the Creator, but what does it mean when we call God our Father? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. God of all creation, we thank you for this beautiful world in which you have permitted us to live. We thank you for all of the goodness that you shower upon us through being a part of this citizenry here on this universe. But God, we thank you especially that we can call you Father, for you have redeemed us in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, and you are the one who has showered your very special redemptive love upon all who trust the Savior. So we pray today we may take a new look, another look at least, at what it really means when we talk about this great confession, I believe in God. Hear our prayer that we ask in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Friends in Christ, my text today is recorded in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of St. John, beginning with verse 12. We continue our studies in the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is a part of Jesus' farewell address to the disciples before he leaves them. And here then in John 16, beginning at verse 12, we read, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. When we look at our great creation, it does not take a very imaginative mind to say, where did it all come from? It is filled with mystery and awe. And we're thankful that in our day, there are many of these mysteries that have been cleared up for us. The usual place that we get this question, how did this creation come about, is found in the laboratories of our scientists. Their answers are based on scientific research, which produces facts that have given us great insights into the creative work of Almighty God. The greatest of the scientists have said, "We know so little, but we are learning every day what a fabulous creation this really is." We as lay people in the world of science rejoice over the good things our scientists have brought us to in our day. We are thankful for all that we know about the universe and how storms can be detected and how we can get a better understanding of the galaxies and all that which is round about us. We are thankful for the crowning work of God's creation, which is the human body. I'm grateful for the transplants, the heart surgeries, the cancer treatments, the antibiotics, and many other discoveries that have come that has granted years to the victim and probably even a cure from their illnesses. We look forward to other medical breakthroughs. Will it not be a great day when such diseases as Parkinson's and the dementias and diabetes and other serious illnesses have been conquered? But there is another way of knowing more about who this Creator is. This knowledge could be labeled experiential learning. It comes to us not from science, but from revelation. A faithful reading and study of the Bible, to which the Holy Spirit works, talks to us about God's nature and His building of an eternal kingdom, and from a people whom He has created in His own image, and He wants them to be His own forever. Now that knowledge of God is found through revelation, and that revelation is found in the Word of God. And here, as we live in the Word of God, it is the Holy Spirit that wants to take what Jesus Christ has done for us and make it very much our own. He said to the disciples while He was here, "I could tell you more, but you're not ready for it yet." This is so overwhelming that the Holy Spirit will take what is mine, what I would have otherwise have told you, and let it become yours. And it would be dynamic truth, and you would begin to understand that the God of creation is not one who is far, far away, but the God of creation, who is your Father, is intimately involved in your life and in mine. So Jesus Christ came, as one of the purposes for His coming was to reveal to us who God really is. As you page your way through the Scriptures, you begin to see what tremendous examples there are and how people must have stood in awe when Jesus said, "This is who your Father is. God is your Father." Can't you imagine that night when Jesus was with Nicodemus? And Nicodemus was asking Him about his own person and the work that He was doing and the miracles that He was performing and the way that He was teaching. Never have we seen anybody teach like you, Jesus. Certainly you are one far greater than we. And during the course of that conversation, Jesus uttered these words, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but rather that the world might be saved through Him." Here was Nicodemus, a member of the Pharisees. And I'm sure that when that man looked at God and he saw the creation and he was in awe over it as we are, he must have thought, "What a tremendous God we have." But He was a distant God. He was a God who had revealed Himself in the commandments and the law. And Nicodemus was happy for that and tried to be a good interpreter of it. But now comes one who calls God the lover, for God so loved the world. Nicodemus, look, it is not only to a particular group of people such as yours, but it is to the world. He loves the world, that he gave his only begotten son. And Nicodemus could have wondered who was that son. 3 years later, he would know as he helped bury his body in a tomb. This was the God of the heavens, the God who was such a mystery, the God who was one that they were trying to learn more about. And Jesus had come to say, he loves you so much, Nicodemus, he gave his son for you. I tell you, friend, when that becomes our experience too, then God can be called our Father. Then he is not one that I have to fear, I have to love, I have to honor, I have to respect, I have to realize that he is God, and that I am a human being, and he is not to be dealt with lightly, but he's a God who says, I love you. I love you. Think of what it must have been like for those people who heard Jesus tell these marvelous stories. And one day he told the story of the prodigal son. And you know the story well, and we do not have time to review that now. But you remember he had gone away and he had spent his inheritance in unrighteous living. And then one day he came to himself, I'm a sinner, I've lived a wretched life. But he began to think about his father. And he thought, well, he is my father. There is a relationship there. I will go to him and I'll say, Father, I have sinned against you, but may I come back and be one of your hired people? And that's what he did. And then there's this picture of God, the waiting father. The father who has been worried about his son, whose heart was broken because his son had departed. And the father who one day when he is looking over the horizon to see, here came his son, and he ran to meet him, and he put his arms around him, and he rejoiced, and he said, my son who is dead is alive, my son who is lost is found. That's a picture of God. And Jesus is saying, what a marvelous thing, that he is the God of creation. And we do not take a thing away from this, but he is the God who wants to live in our hearts. And when we walk away, he is a father who welcomes us home again. He comes out to meet us. What a picture of God. And that's what our text is saying to us today, that the Holy Spirit is going to take what the disciples could not comprehend while he was with them, and what often we cannot comprehend. The Holy Spirit is going to take these words and make them real and living and dynamic. And then we know how Christianity has its effect on this world as we learn to know God as our Father. Think of what that man Zacchaeus must have gone through. He too, many believe, was a Pharisee. He understood the law. But he had walked away from that particular group. And now he was a tax collector for the Roman group. He was a man who had gained a great deal of wealth. He had stolen, in one sense of the word, from his people, and they hated him. And then one day Jesus came to Jericho, and he went into Zacchaeus' house, and he said, Zacchaeus, I want to stay at your house today. And so he and Zacchaeus spent some time there. And there he learned that he needed to repent of his sins. Then it was that Zacchaeus got a picture of God. For after he had repented of his sins, and as a result of that repentance gave a half of his goods to the poor and restored fourfold everything that he had stolen from his fellow men. Here then you have a picture of Jesus. Standing there with Zacchaeus by his side, I like to think, and saying to these people today, this man, wretched as he is, who has fallen in sin and has stolen from you, today this man is also a son of Abraham, meaning that his sins are forgiven. And then Jesus gives this great picture of his Father. He said the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. And so you and I, through the work of the Holy Spirit, taking what God had left behind in the person of Jesus Christ, reveals to us that God is out looking for us. And he wants to forgive us our sins. He calls us to him to repent and trust him. And we can be his, the forgiven children of God, no matter what the sin might be, forever and ever. Look at what he has done. And our text says, well, you're not ready to comprehend all these things yet, and so I'm going to give you more as the days go by. And one of these topics that they could not quite understand, and who of us can, dealt with this matter of eternity. What was going to happen when we would breathe our last? And the text of ours today turns around and says, look, you're going to live a number of years here on this earth, and then you will be taken. At that particular time, I want you to know what is yet to come. So John gives us a bit of that. The Holy Spirit had revealed it to John. John is now putting it in writing, and it comes down to you and to me today. And here's what he says in the 7th chapter of Revelation. After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And so when they were wondering about all of this, and the seer began to ask, who are these people? And then they were given the answer, they are those who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and they have made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's a picture of heaven, friend. We can't understand that. It has been revealed to us. So what is it saying to us about our God? The God who created the galaxies and everything, the God who created this body that we are able to live in, is a God who loved me so much that he not only grants me the forgiveness of my sins, but he promises to me a home in heaven. And there will be people there of every generation, of every tribe, from all over the world. Their sins will have been forgiven. There is only one way that we could get there. And that was through faith in Jesus Christ. But when we arrive, God will have wiped away every tear. All of this will be gone. There will be no sorrow. There'll be no suffering. There'll be no death. There'll be no famines. There'll be no wars. None of these things. That is yet to come. This is a God who you and I can know as we walk here on this earth. Therefore, there is a lot more in saying, I believe in God, that he is a creator. There is a lot more than just thinking of him as being a teacher. There is a savior. There is a redeemer. There is another passage of scripture that I'd like to turn your attention to today, for this is, after all, Independence Weekend, and it is found in the Gospel of St. John, where Jesus is talking about freedom, the 4th of July, freedom, and all that has been done for us in order that we could have freedom. And what is being done for us today by these brave people who are giving their lives and doing everything that we might have a life that is safe and free from harm. That is a tremendous freedom. In our bedroom, there is a flag out in the pasture. We're out in an open section where we can look far beyond our property's line. And someone has put up a flag probably a mile away with a light. And once in a while in the night when I'm awake, I'll look out that window. And there I see that it's all lit up. The flag of the United States, my flag. That I can be a part of the land of the free and the home of the brave. Oh, I can only thank God for America, with all of its wrongs, with all of its sins. And sometimes I wonder when I sing God Bless America, how he really can when we consider how we live. But we continue to pray on that his grace will be bountiful, and somehow or other we can experience that our country has turned around with a spiritual awakening. And while the scientific laboratories go on and on and on to do its great things, that we can also see in the hearts of men and women a new understanding of who God is and what he wants America to do. Freedom. Now listen to this. Jesus talks about that subject too. And he said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you hold to my teachings, you are truly my disciples, and then you will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." When are we the free people of God? We are the free people of God when we have been in the presence of Jesus Christ. He has granted us the forgiveness of our sins. He has taken all of that guilt away. We're not under a law. We live unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. The law is important to guide us, but it is the gospel that motivates us to keep the law, and it is the gospel that sets us free when we break the law. Freedom, spiritual freedom. We can sit in prison cells, and some that I talked to today over the radio are sitting in prison cells. You can be free in Jesus Christ. You can be free no matter who you be. We're all in captivity outside of Jesus Christ. That's freedom. That's what the Holy Spirit has come for, to teach us what Jesus had said, but to give us further insight into it, and not only to open our minds, but to open our hearts and our souls and say, "Come, Lord Jesus, come in and be my Savior. I want to know more." And so as we live and abide in his word, the Spirit of God continues to work with us. And as he works with us, we then begin to understand who God is. The Creator, to be sure, but more than that, the one whom we can call our Father. Amen. Father in heaven, on this Independence Weekend, we thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ, if we want it. We thank you that he is the one who will grant us the forgiveness of our sins and set us free spiritually. We are grateful for our political freedom, but we know that there is a freedom that goes even beyond that, when our souls are set free from guilt, and we know that we are yours forever. Come, Lord Jesus, into our hearts, and grant that this may be a day of repentance for our land, when we see how bountifully we have been blessed by you. All this we ask in the name of our crucified but risen Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. It is our prayer that today's message of the freedom that is ours in Christ Jesus our Lord has brought comfort and joy to your heart. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. This publication contains a feature article written by Reverend Larson and others on a specific subject of interest to our listening family. To receive this newsletter free of charge, please call us at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported ministry. Many shut-ins depend on this program for their Sunday worship. We pray that if this ministry helps meet your spiritual needs, you will consider a tax-deductible contribution to help pay for radio time. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift of $2.50 will cover production and mailing costs. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio speaker of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.